to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night podcast. I am Dwayne Perkins, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie, we have a guest, they watch the movie, and we got this thing down pat, yo.
We do. We're done. we did all that can be done. We watched all the movies, we talked to all the comedians. We're bringing back a favorite of mine, a guy who I think we might owe an apology to, but we'll get into that. he has been on the show before. He is a hilarious comic who was recently on The Late Late Show with James Corden. Ryan Connor, what is up,
buddy? Oh, thanks for having me.
Of course, thanks for doing it again, making you sit through Kindergarten Cop 2.
When you were asking me what movie to do this time, and like the first few I sent got shot down, because like they weren't streamable right now.
Oh, right.
I went into a near panic.
I was like, he was like, oh, they're going to make me watch Kindergarten Cop 3.
Right. It's going to be Roadhouse 4.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was early days in the podcast, I feel like.
That's crazy.
And it was just like, it was one of those movies where like Netflix was just starting to make originals.
Right.
And it was like, well, I got to watch this train wreck. This is going to be insane.
I mean, I think we all went into it the same way, thinking it was going to be so bad it's good. And it just wasn't.
No, it was just so bad. It's
it didn't
real,
make it all the way
bad.
Around. Yeah.
It didn't make the full revolution.
It was so brutal, man. I remember, like, I've seen Grown Ups too. And I mean, that was so much better.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was like, I mean, Kindergarten Cop felt like it was, you know, straight to DVD in the discount bin for like 99 cents. Yeah. Take this off our hands, please. Like, just one of the worst movies you could ever see.
I think it was Elizabeth Berkley movie called Kill Cruise, and that was better. Not just that it was funnier, because
I would
it was
watch Kill
horrible,
Cruise,
but it was better. It was actually a better movie.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you go into that movie, like Kindergarten Cop 2, at least I did, thinking like they're going to be self-aware and like treat this as like we're doing a ridiculous sequel 20 years later with Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
And they treated it so serious. And it was just like, well, this was not the way to approach it, guys.
Yeah, it's...
I feel like we should move on.
I feel like we should just review it again. Let's give it a second.
It's one of the
viewing.
Two.
But it's one of those things. It's like if you taste something that tastes bad and you immediately want someone else to taste it.
Yes. I'm already tempted to go inside later and make my wife watch it. Let's watch this thing again. I gotta relive this.
Did she watch them with you?
Like sometimes. Sometimes. No, I don't think she watched that.
I mean, it would be a miracle if you were still together.
I usually try to steer her clear of the ones that are like, I'm just going to watch this because it's a giant piece of shit. She's not usually into that.
Yeah.
What's going on with you, man? What have you been up to lately?
Same thing, stand up, working on a TV MTV show, Ridiculousness.
Oh, nice.
My sworn rival.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like the MTV version of... Tosh.0.
Yeah, I guess they can't find out you're in my home.
Man. See, from what I hear, only people there care.
Oh, no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
No, it's
okay.
Completely a name.
I think it was like,
I'm kidding.
7 years ago, people cared.
Yeah. And it's funny because like, once in a while, a writer will try to submit a joke that like involves our rivalry. And he's like, this doesn't exist. Why are we still doing this? He's like, no, stop.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's enough internet to go around.
Sure.
Plenty of internet. They're very different shows. Ours is an interview show.
Right. It's that skateboarder dude?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very different. Ours is an interview show. You all's is a joke show.
Yeah. He's actually pretty good, too. Like, when I first saw the show, I was like, oh, this guy's not funny. Then I was like, wait, he's not trying to be funny. Okay, this is good.
Right. He's reactive funny. He's not analytically funny. He's like reactive funny.
And he's really personable, so he does a great job.
Rob Dyrdek, right?
That's
who we're... I keep... wanting to say Deirdrick, and I know that's not it, and that's not like an intentional
Deirdek, a deck made of deer.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that.
I liked Robin Big.
And I'm doing another show. I can't talk about the. I'll tell you about the other show off air.
Nice, nice.
Oh, secrets. Ridiculous. You guys don't get to listen. Sorry.
And I got a divorce.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, number two.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Divorce
I didn't.
Number
well,
two.
While we were talking,
so you made her watch Kindergarten Cop too.
Too
one too many times.
Right.
That's how I knew.
when you mentioned about sharing a place with someone, I was like, wait a second.
Oh, right.
Number two. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking, no, that's right. When I saw you at the Village Bakery, was I by myself?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking I was there with my girlfriend, but it was by myself. So I was thinking you'd already met her, but you have not.
Oh, I'm juicy. I like the update. Yeah. So what's up? Do you still believe in marriage or what's going on?
I mean, sure. I mean, the first one, that was a big error. The second one, you know, I just feel like it didn't work out. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm still on the same page where I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, it's both people have to put in the effort.
Yeah.
Mm. And I should probably leave that part there.
That's it.
but yeah, I'm not against it, but I, you know, I mean, I would do it again or not. I don't know. Right. I'm not kind of ambivalent.
Right. Yeah.
We seem in good spirits, so that's good. You never know when someone's divorced, do you say I'm sorry or congratulations, right? You always have to read their body language kind of. But my thing is if you do it again though, like, you're at a handicap, you know, because when problems arise, the girl can look at you and go, hey, this doesn't work out. People are going to start to question you, not me.
Look, yeah, I already have the beginning of a pattern. Right. My girlfriend's divorced as well, though.
Oh, so that's good.
I've got that. That helps. Because I was dating people for a while, and I remember someone, I went on a date with someone who was like in her mid-30s or something, mm-hmm. and she was like, you're divorced? Or no, we were just talking online. She's like, yeah, it was because someone's divorced. I'm like, you're in your fucking mid-30s and you're an attractive woman. No one's asked you to marry them. What the fuck's going on with you?
right, exactly.
What are you doing?
By the way, lady, fucking who isn't divorced? At this point, that's right. not the I'm, scarlet letter yeah, yeah, it once was.
At least I'm fucking trying over here.
That's exactly right. You don't, because I've never been married. I don't get to say, I've never been divorced. Like, you don't get to not.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
You miss every shot you don't take, basically, right?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You can always count on Dwayne to bring it back to basketball. Right. I like it. Yeah. I always enjoy that. That's funny, though, because it's like, I mean, divorce is what it is, especially now where I feel like people legitimately can amicably get divorced.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, I guess this isn't working out. Like, let's still be cool to each other. I'll see you later.
Nick Cobb, have you had him on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this morning he was like, I think you would be great to get a divorce from. It just seems like it would be real easy.
So it seems like you make it very easy.
I've given both of my exes everything, all the physical possessions.
Yeah.
Right.
First one, I didn't really have a choice. That was, kind of got muscled. But then this one, I was like, take it all.
I'm ready to start over anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
I just want to get a fresh start. You don't want to look at that couch and be like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, maybe we should stop calling it divorce. Let's call it what it is.
Liberation.
Purge. Yeah.
Liberation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Set free. Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's just, it's a breakup. It's a slightly larger scale breakup. Yes. And if you let it be that and let it be simple.
So expensive.
Easy. Yeah, yeah.
Well, but yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, it sounds like it was the right move.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. I'm very happy. I think my ex and I were just different people.
Yeah.
You know, we started out compatible and then just kind of moved in different directions. Mm-hmm. And you know, you love someone, so you think you can work it out, but then it gets to a point where it's like, man, we are just way too different.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a weird thing that, like, I feel like I never really thought about it until I was in it. I mean, I've been married for 6 years now,
mm-hmm.
six or seven, and it's fucking great. But I do worry about, like, well. Today, I look at myself 10 years ago and I think that guy was really fucking different from me and kind of an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think, well, am I going to think that 10 years from now and be a completely different person then?
Uh-huh.
That's a little terrifying.
You could.
It happens and if you go your separate ways, it can just be like, all right, well, we had a good run.
Yeah. I mean, wow, that's a... Fuck, you're still married. You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, no.
You're not supposed to say we had a good run.
We're right. cool. Saying, I'm not worried about me and her.
Oh,
I'm
saying, hypothetical. That was a hypothetical. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. I was like, just in case your wife's listening,
don't worry.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you were good there.
Completely hypothetical. I love my wife. I'm doing great. But I just mean, like, the idea of, like, life can do that. It can suddenly, there's a wedge between you and you go in two different directions. And
then hopefully you just accept the other person for who they are. And you don't try to change them. And clearly I'm being very charitable about what happened in my divorce.
Right. Super well-adjusted. Well, you know, I have suspicions.
And just to think there was a time where you were just expected to rough it out, you know, it was kind of like, like playing, this may not be the greatest analogy, but like, but like if you're right-handed and you have to play a left-handed guitar and they won't let you restring it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't change people, right? So you just have to like, I have to play a left-handed guitar. I mean, I guess you could learn, right? But
yeah.
The notion of you have to stay married, the fact that that was once a thing, is just, this is the rest of your life.
How they got that past us, how they, I didn't mean to cut you off, but how they made that work was, they also tacked on, you have to be married to get laid. So that's not at all.
It's like, well, I guess that's how I guess it's either stay with this person or never fuck again.
So some people are still stuck in that. So last month I had to buy a new car. My car got totaled. I'm at the dealership waiting all day because it's a Sunday. It takes longer. And it's end of the day. It's me and one other guy, right? And we're talking. He's having some issue because he's like, he just started an S Corp, which listeners don't know. It's something that a lot of comics, a lot of people in entertainment have.
Yeah.
So,
like a LLC or something.
Yeah. So he wasn't sure if he needed to buy the car for the S Corp in order to write it off or whatever. So I go over to talk to him. I was like, no, you don't, because my S Corp's paying for it, but I'm putting it under my name. I explain him all that stuff to him. And then I started asking him we talk about what we do and stuff. He was a finance guy, right? And he was he said he's like Forbes ranked.
Okay. Wow!
And real deal. And he's apparently loaded. He's wearing a McLaren hat.
This is so just crazy.
And I was like, "You have a McLaren?" And he was like, "Yeah." I said, "Do you drive it?" He's like, yeah, I take my kids to school in it. Okay.
But then why were you explaining to him how an S Corp works? Anyway, I know. That's fine.
That's what I understand. He just started an S Corp. Before that, I don't know, maybe he had a different S Corp. Fuck if I know. But anyway, I was like, so what car are you getting if you have a McLaren? He's like, my wife wants the Tesla with that opens like the SUV with the gold wing kind of deal.
Is it the Cybertruck or whatever?
Yeah, basically. He just seemed disgusted about it. And he goes, well, it's cheaper than divorce.
Wow.
I was like, wait, let's hear more.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Well,
if he even says that, that divorce is looming.
It's happening
at some point.
That's what I said. I was like, I got a divorce last year. Let's hear something. And he goes, well, I asked for a divorce last year, and then she was going to take, it was like millions of dollars from him, right?
Oh.
So he's like, I'm just going to stay. He's like, he had kids who were like 5 and 3 or 7 and 5 or something like that. So he's like, I'm just going to stay, get her this car and all. And it's like,
wow.
I was like, dude, you know, you'll have to pay even more later.
Yes. The number's only getting higher
especially if he makes more money too. But it sounds like they're just going to stick it out and she'll have a dude on the side that she bones and
it's a good situation
for
the children.
Bones and yeah.
It seems like a terrible way to live,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it's going
to
be though.
Dude, when you get to a certain level of wealth though, like reasoning goes out the window with like you see that number and you're like, "Nah, fuck it, I'll just stay." Right. That's crazy.
I almost did it for very small money.
But it's crazy is like if you have a child who's like high school age, right? You get them you give them your old car, you get them some kind of hoopty. Or if you have a moderate income and your wife wants a car, you know, even if you make 80 grand, 100 grand, whatever it is, you know, you get her like a wife car is like a Sentra or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this guy's world, a wife car is a Tesla.
Like a $120,000 one.
Yeah, like that's like just some bullshit I got to get my wife.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, this is partly what my wife does for a living. She does the accounting part of like high-level divorce cases. And I mean, it's the truth that like it gets to a certain number and it's like, yeah, that's the kind of thing you have to buy as opposed to like, I got her flowers. Like,
right.
The first person I dated after my divorce was a divorce attorney.
Yeah.
And she was kind of telling me the same thing. She was like, she couldn't tell me details because, you know, it's all confidential.
Oh, wow.
But she was giving me like just some overview stuff. And she was like, I'll, you know, if you want me to, like, after we stop seeing each other, she's like, let me know if you want me to look over anything or you want advice or
that's
anything.
That's a nice
like that.
Little ace in the hole there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just really crazy. I was going to say something completely blank, but.
Oh, I thought you had the transition built up.
No, I thought it was all ready to go. No, no. You said, what did you say? Your wife.
Like buying flowers and shit for them.
Oh, right. No, I know what I was going to say now. It's like. These guys, you see these guys on TV every now and then, and they have like the most loyal wives. These like off the grid guys, mm-hmm. like these guys who've like, as a family, they've decided to live off the grid, and they're like fucking getting water from the lake, and you know they have a potato battery. You know what I mean? Like,
what? Is this a show? No,
like these, I've seen not a, it's not an ongoing show, but I've seen these kind of guys.
Really?
And you're just like, how did you find this woman? How did right. you do this? Like. This guy should
also,
teach a class.
Also, is this a hostage situation?
I mean, look, I know a guy who's a hilarious comic
yeah.
Out of North Carolina, and he tours probably 10 months of the year mm-hmm. in a van.
Oh, wow.
And he's got, you know, if he doesn't have a hotel, he's got a little apartment in the back of this van. And seems like sort of a, you know, solitary life.
Right.
And he and his long-term girlfriend broke up last year. And then he happened to meet someone in like November-ish who is a photographer. And like her dream was to just be on the road everywhere taking pictures at national parks. And he's like, fucking get in.
Guess what?
How does that happen?
Jackpot.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, fuck. Man. That's kismet right there.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like you were meant for that kind of person. There's not a lot yeah. of people that you can be like, I live in this van, and they're going to be like, that's awesome.
I know. I am on board for that.
You live in this van. You're the man I've been looking for. I feel like I was watching that Free Solo documentary, and I kept thinking that. I'm like, man, this guy, if he can hold this girl down, like,
yeah,
man, people will just, they'll go with you on a weird trip for love.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of a scenario I've been in where like, nah. Yeah,
I've had some really chill situations, but not quite that.
Not that
not
level.
Quite that chill, yeah.
not that, not yeah, yeah. live in a van chill.
Right, not live in a van chill.
Yeah.
So here's, I'll give you two possible transitions.
Oh, you're just.
They're both really bad, but that's why I'm setting them up.
Let's hear it.
Now, I was going to say there's a chance I'm going to have to take a bathroom break during this episode because I ate an entire watermelon right before I walked over here.
No worries. Right.
You want to take a minute?
And I'm good right now.
It's mainly water.
Just letting you know what's coming.
Watermelon's mainly
water.
Yeah,
about 6 pounds of water.
Right.
Okay.
That's great. You ate. I'm intrigued by that. We need to talk.
4 days this week.
Hold on. Let's skip the movie.
For the last 7 days, I've eaten an entire watermelon.
I'm doing the small ones now.
Like a 6 pounder.
Is it a craving or is this a thing you're doing? Like
no. I just my whole.
Do you have
life.
A tapeworm?
it's just my entire life. I've been watermelon crazy.
Right.
And then.
Do this like past, the people at the grocery store know you? And they're like, he's fucking back. He's getting another watermelon.
They probably do. this week I've been getting the pre-cut, the just giant ones that are 6 pound bowls.
Right, right.
But some days I'll do it like if I feel dehydrated because I'm like, I don't want to drink a gallon of water right now.
Right.
But I'll eat a whole watermelon.
You know, I work on this trivia show. Funny you should ask, where every question has a funny answer. And, one thing I can tell you is, you may notice already, is watermelon has like the same effect, especially the amount you're eating, as Viagra.
Does it now?
Yeah.
All right, let me text my girlfriend, I'm coming over.
The last 20 years of my life, this guy's just been walking around hard as a rock.
let me make a note of that.
You can look it up. Watermelon yeah. so
I'm just
much.
Gonna make a
on
note
that,
of
on that,
that
level, but you have to eat a whole watermelon.
Well, like, yeah, slice won't do it, but if you're knocking out one watermelon at a time, I think.
Well, all right, that explains some things.
That's
all right.
Amazing. That's all right. Amazing. I mean, that's a really inconvenient alternative to Viagra.
Oh, yeah.
But
just one pill, but anyway.
Or you can set aside 40 minutes, pencil in 6 bathroom breaks in the middle of the night.
I'm going to tear you up after I go to the bathroom. After. So they're both really cheesy.
Let's hear them, Dwayne.
First one is, Ryan, I hope your next relationship is bigger, longer, and uncut.
Uncut. I like it. that's fucking great.
That's actually pretty decent. Maybe we should just leave it there. The other one is, if your next relationship doesn't work out, don't blame Canada.
Okay. I mean, that first one, that was tight.
Yeah,
Blame Canada is not bad either. But that is our movie for this week. It was custom picked by our guest from 1999. It's called South Park: Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, directed by Trey Parker, starring Trey Parker, Matt Stone, Mary Kay Bergman, Isaac Hayes, and a little touch of George Clooney.
Yeah, I was like, is that Clooney? I forgot.
Yeah, it really is Clooney.
Yeah.
In his like ER heyday.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Great. Mm-hmm. So you got to tell us, why did you pick this movie?
One of my favorite movies ever.
Yes.
My favorite comedies are all Matt Stone, Trey Parker, Chris Guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
Love Rushmore.
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty much my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some others I'm forgetting that are that I love.
Kindergarten Cop 2.
Casey 2.
Not the first one. That was
Dumb and
trash.
Dumberer.
I only like sequels from several decades later.
Yeah, with different actors.
Right.
That's all. Yeah. No, yeah, dude, I love this movie so much. So when it came out, I was interning at this TV station in DC. It was like it was a Friday. On Fridays, I got off at 1 for some reason, and straight to the theater across the street for it.
Nice.
I watched every episode of South Park the night it came out up to that point. Oh, God, I got a crazy South Park story from college. Okay. So anyway, straight to the theater, watched it, went home. Watched it again at a theater like closer to my place.
Crazy.
I watched it 4 times in a theater that weekend. Twice by myself, twice I brought people with me.
Yeah.
This is how big of a South Park fan I was. So
this movie, like, even as a South Park fan at the time, I was a huge South Park fan. This was so above and beyond what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fucking good.
Outdid themselves. I wrote 2 major papers in college. One was like my senior thesis.
That's
on
amazing,
this movie.
It's remarkable we didn't do this movie before that we...
I know. Yeah. This is one of my all-time favorites. One of the most, like, rewatchable more than maybe anything I've ever seen.
Yeah. Dude, my first paper on this movie...
Mm-hmm.
My English, it was like English 301 teacher or whatever, like whatever the junior level or whatever. He submitted that to the dean to get me to say that I was should be exempt from my senior class and use that and one other paper as a submission to get me into Cambridge University.
Get out.
And I got in.
From a South Park paper.
So then I did another South Park project.
Uh-huh.
I hate it. So
it was majored in South Park. Is what I
basically did. So there was a interpersonal communication class I had to take. And I fucking hated it. And I was like, I'm only going to show up for the exams, and I had to do a presentation. Right,
right. Right.
I was with a group for
only do this in college, kids, not in high school. But go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. So for this presentation, I needed to take up 20 minutes out of the group, you know, and they gave me a theory, and I was like, I'm not going to go to your fucking presentation rehearsal. All right, I'm just going to work my part out. I didn't really read the book. I didn't go to class. I just read a paragraph on what this theory was, and I was like, I'm going to apply it to whatever's on South Park tonight.
Oh, wow.
So it was the Red Rocket episode. Do you know it?
Yeah.
Starts off Cartman jerking off the dog on the front lawn, going Red Rocket, Red Rocket, and everyone is horrified.
Right.
And then, you know, Cartman's like, you know, you keep doing it, and the milk comes out, and the dog comes all over.
So he thought he was milking
Cambridge
the dog.
Cambridge material.
I guess. Yeah, yeah.
So I go through this long process. This is, I guess, 2001 or 2002. Back then, it was very hard to get that onto a VHS tape, but I did it.
Right.
Like all these converters and stuff, pulling it off of the South Park website. I had it ready. I brought it into class. I kind of knew what the theory was I was supposed to talk about, but even though I hadn't done comedy yet, I kind of had that comic mentality where as long as people are laughing, I can roll with it, and I'll just push this to 20 minutes.
Right, right.
Fuck, I put it in, and... it bombs so hard, man.
Oh.
I don't know if everyone was afraid to laugh or they just didn't watch South Park or what, but it bombed so hard that I forgot what I was supposed to talk about completely.
Whoa. And you didn't bomb. Like, you just pressed play and it didn't get the laughs you thought it would
exactly.
get.
Exactly. So all I did, I walked up. These people had never seen me because all I did was pick up my syllabus.
Right, right.
And then I got an email telling me when I needed to do this. I said, hi, I'm Ryan. I'm going to be talking about blah, 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 which then I forgot. I was like, let's take a look at this visual aid. I'm going to apply to play like a 3-minute scene. No one laughed at all. And I go, thank you. That's it for me. And I popped the tape out. I popped the tape out. I grabbed my bag and left. I didn't come back until the final. I just showed these people fucking a dog getting jacked off and left.
And were you like sitting there stifling your laughter while you watched it and no one else laughed? Like, were you
I can't remember, frozen? But like, knowing myself, I was probably red and laughing and like just not. I'm like, how are you guys not laughing? Oh, my ass is off right now.
But you know, you left, but just to be a fly in a room. Like what they talked about when you left, like they had to be like, what the fuck was that?
Somewhere, someone from that class is still telling that story.
That's what I think. I'm either like a fucking cowboy hero or a cautionary tale to these people. Some I don't fucking know. It's one of the two.
Sex freak came into our classroom and made us watch a cartoon boy jerk off a dog, and then he left.
I mean, I would have been dying laughing, but I guess, yeah, maybe you know, maybe you have to like know that world or be a little acclimated to it.
Mean, I had a very similar situation in college where I based this huge project on why animated shows are able to get away with more than live action. Mm-hmm. When it comes to language, violence, whatever it is. And it was really an excuse to watch like 5 different cartoon shows and count all of the hilarious shit that happens that you could never do on Friends or whatever. And I thought it was the most interesting thing. And like, I got like 4 other people in this group who were like clearly the other stoners who were like, let's watch some fucking cartoons. And we all just thought it like, it was this brilliant thing. And the presentation was like, everyone was just looking at us, just stone faced. Like, who fucking cares? What are we? This is college.
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys don't get it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's
was South Park one of them?
Yes, of course.
South Park. Ren and Stimpy. South Park,
Simpsons, Family Guy. I can't remember what else was
there. Futurama, maybe.
Probably Futurama at the time, yeah. But
the thing about South Park is I've seen many, many episodes. You can't believe how long the show's been on. Like, I think it's been on since like 97, 96, something like that. And I don't regularly watch it, but every time I watch it, I think it's hysterical. Yeah, and I'm like, why don't I regularly watch it? Yeah. I feel like Comedy Central is just not a channel I turn to anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though, big up Comedy Central, I've done some business with them. Love you guys. But just like BET is not like I just turned to ESPN.
I like that you're still miming changing channels. Right. I'm like, what fucking system is this guy on?
I know.
I'm just ESPN, basically. Seinfeld if it's on. ESPN 2. Fucking TNT. NBA Network.
Yeah,
I'm about the same. I'll put a curb in there.
I feel like South Park though is also one of those. If you don't get what it is, if you don't get why this kid is jerking off this dog,
you need the characters.
It registers as like this is the lowest brow thing I've ever seen, and that's what blew me away so much about the movie when it first came out was that like South Park building up to that was getting smarter and smarter, but like it wasn't the South Park we know today. No. This movie was like, holy shit, like this guy's a genius.
And
there is a brilliant film folded into you know, children telling their teacher to suck their balls. Like it's hard to even wrap my head around how something so dumb can be so smart. I've never seen anybody do it like these guys.
It's unbelievable. Like the fact that they even got it made. It's a movie. I mean, it's about a lot of things, but on its face, it's a movie about their TV show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's a parody of themselves.
Yeah. It's about the backlash that their TV show gets.
Right.
And the great thing, and this is sort of the crux of that first paper I wrote, was that they predicted the backlash to the movie in the movie. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
whole thing is so hyper self-aware and has so many levels that, like, still to this day when I rewatch it, there's little subtleties that I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
While at the same time using 399 swear words.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hey. Well, you know how you're sitting with someone, you have two types of friends, right? Mm-hmm. You have the type of friend, you're sitting with them eating and you go, don't look now. Mm-hmm. That guy has a bird on his head, right? And there's two types of friends. There's the friend that really won't look then and just sort of like, well, wait a few seconds. And then there's a friend that looks right away. And I feel like America in general is a friend that looks right away.
Yes, yes. Yes. You know, because that's the best analogy I have ever heard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when they do this movie, not only did they predict the backlash to their own movie, but just it was sort of a sign of things to come. Like, like people should see this movie and feel like, instantly, let me not react so big to everything. Excuse me, big is not a word, but they don't like this.
Right,
like people still
those
lose
people
their shit.
Don't hear. Yeah. They don't get that message at all. Right, they still hear the bad words
because they look right away. They don't. Yes. There's no kind of processing.
Yeah,
and that's how we got our president.
It's like the question of like, what is morality? You know, is like that's like the big question of the movie. I think is what is morality?
I mean, and they shove it down your throat with like the graphic violence is fine as long as there's no naughty words.
That's my favorite,
and the fact that some people still don't get it is like the message is it's literally amazing. Spelled
and,
out for you.
And they make it Canada. The great thing about Canada is. Canada is us in a sense. It's like the nice version of the U.S., right? Yeah. Maybe that's overstated, but basically. And so we would never think of really going to war with Canada. And so you can't dehumanize them like you can people in other places. These people in other places, who are they? You can drive to Canada. It's right there. They're the same hue. Exactly. They look like us. They sound like us, except for a boat. And
can you tell us again what it's all about?
Yes. And the brilliance is like it's like we'll make it Canada just to show you how easily we can villainize someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I also think Canada is self-aware enough and not in large part the turn right away people.
Right, right.
So they can understand the complete joke of them being the enemy in this movie.
Exactly.
And it's just it's the highest level of the parents jumping to conclusions is we're going to go to war with Canada. That's how fucking crazy we are.
And it's crazy that I forget whose mom it is, but who takes the gun and shoots those guys.
Yeah, Kyle's mom.
It's like, whoa. Like,
I know.
Even at that point where you think this is going
to come
to her turn.
Senses. Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is America. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't be more overt than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will kill you for saying fuck.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And I mean, you're the bad one for saying fuck, not me for killing you.
How great
you.
Is that initial interview with the Canadian Prime Minister?
Who's like, hey, buddy.
He's like, oh, come on, guys. It's just a couple of bad words. Like, what are we doing?
And he's completely right. And she's flipping out at him.
Yeah. It's just, this is also, we're talking about 1999. And that moment in the movie feels like such a spot on. Imitation of news spots today.
Yeah,
that it's like,
it's like
we've gotten to that point and we've stayed in it, and it's fucking crazy
because it's the cancel culture, but the ultimate version is to kill some. The ultimate sort of version of that is to kill someone, and you know, but when you try to cancel someone indefinitely, you're basically killing them, or their livelihood. If you're saying whatever it is you do, depending on the mistake, but you can't do it ever again. Like, there's people who still lose their shit if you say anything about Michael Vick, right? And I get it, but he went to jail, you know, and then he served his time.
Yeah.
And if that's your pet issue, you don't care.
I know. And then the irony there is that the same people who will still jump on you for Michael Vick are the same people who will talk about justice reform, which I think is important too.
Right.
But like, you can't be a hypocrite about it.
Right.
Michael Vick has paid his debt. He has done so much work to prevent other people from fighting dogs.
Right, right, right.
Well, at some point,
what else can this man do?
At some point, right, I think America,
unless you want him to kill himself, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
At some point, I feel like America stopped believing completely in any kind of rehabilitation.
Right.
Like, yeah, the public as a whole is just like, you did this bad thing, you're done.
Yeah.
You're in the bad pile. And I understand that for a lot of people, it rings true that often you can't be rehabilitated, but
yeah,
it's like the people who have the impulse when Kobe died to be like, well, you know, Colorado, right, and it's right, like right. Jesus Christ, right. Yeah, the guy was accused of something. He wasn't convicted. He didn't go to trial. He didn't go to jail. But like, that's your instinct when a man dies, is to be like, well, somebody said he did this thing,
and
maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But like, come on,
It was years ago. And NBA players, by and large, they're like, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube and stuff, and Kobe's the guy who just didn't hang out.
Yeah.
So, like, even that was an anomaly. And he never got in trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we cancel you. You're done. And that moment is when she shoots them.
Yeah. And this like, movie is so so on point about our fascination with that's bad.
Yeah.
No more of that.
Yeah.
It's so – and obviously, you know – it's ridiculous that the whole thing is based off a movie of these two morons farting at each other.
Farting
but
each
like
other.
That's the beauty of it is like Trey Parker knows to like make it that dumb,
right?
Yeah.
To point out like this is how up in arms people get but over the stupid and the cartoons.
The brilliance of that is that movie would only be for kids that age. I mean, minus the cursing.
Yeah.
The tone of it.
Everybody else walked out of the theater.
Right. That's who it's for, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I get to, you know, I'm 10 or whatever age they're supposed to be, and I get to hear cursing.
Do you remember how hard you laughed the first time you heard Uncle Fucker?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. Especially the second when he sings it, and he's like, he's really singing. Like that. Oh,
how about...
And then he ends with just going, suck my balls.
It's like the dueling farts part of that. Oh, like, I was eating dinner watching it last night and almost spit my food out. And I've seen the movie so many times.
But
them and the Mountie in the middle of the street.
Oh,
and that's what I think makes this... one of the greatest comedies ever is that it does shit on that base of a level, but it also has this like overarching brilliant message and story behind it.
And it's a low-key a really good musical, you know?
It's an amazing musical.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched
the medley
on that. It was nominated,
Michael McDonald sings
this was
at the
nominated
end?
For an Oscar in 99.
For Blame Canada.
You could see the Oscars nominating South Park now
because
they look at them differently. But in 99, it was still this is potty humor.
Right.
And this was nominated for an Oscar. The music is so fucking great and catchy.
Is there a funnier line ever than in that song? When one of them says, you're an uncle fucker, I must say, and the other one goes, you fucked your uncle yesterday.
No, that is still to this day the one that sticks out to me every time. I'm waiting for them to build to it, and it's so goddamn funny.
That one in Big Gay Al's song, when he's like, people are dying.
Right.
What is
children
it like?
Are crying.
Bombs are flying. Yeah. Children are crying. And it ends with, the whole world's gone to hell. But how are you?
Yeah.
But
it's the most spot on like musical parody.
It absolutely is.
So nail like the Broadway thing in this movie. Oh, everything sounds like something you've heard.
Yeah.
Real.
It's like
and obviously this eventually, you know, they eventually did Book of Mormon.
Right,
like
right.
It was there, the ability.
Absolutely.
And I think you have to really probably love musicals to be able to parody it.
I was just
going to
say that. It's like they honor it and parody it at the same time.
I mean, the music in this, when they start interweaving all the different songs, I'm still just floored by how great it is.
Even the music in Cannibal is amazing. The movie they did in college, fucking great.
I mean... It's such a kind of classic through line of animation where animation writers seem to gravitate towards musicals for something like The Simpsons always did great musical pieces and parodies.
Yeah.
This is just on a level that's
sort of
like
next level. Yeah.
This is so much more of a film than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, you hear a rated R South Park movies coming out and you think, yeah, they're going to go to like the umpteenth degree
as far as
filth and language. But I just never thought
it was
going to be
what it was. Pieces like, you know, you could watch the movie, or you could just watch the songs or hear the songs. You could almost just hear the
soundtrack
songs.
is like front to back bangers.
And the soundtrack's not on Apple Music anymore.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't have a drive to rip it onto my computer. Oh, I was trying to listen to Uncle Fucker on the way over here.
I don't hate musicals, but I like musicals, but a part of me won't allow myself to like musicals only because
you're not a fan of musicals.
Well, yeah, I love music.
You enjoy them.
It's just because the whole thing of the moving the plot forward, it's like, you know, what should I do? You should, just in real life, people are not talking and then singing, but it works. It just works in this format. Yeah. Like it really, really works because it's like you don't want. They have a TV show, so you don't want to watch an hour and a half of the TV show. So they needed to make it different.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the brilliant thing they did, too, right up top, is they start with a very legitimate, really great-sounding song that Stan is singing about his quiet little mountain town, and they slowly ease you into the tone where you get like these little moments of humor and then it starts to get crass towards the end of the song.
Yeah.
But initially, the movie opens with like, this is a great song. Like,
absolutely.
If nothing else, you're kind of sucked in for that reason. Yeah. Even if you're not in for like the South Park aspect of it.
Do you guys know about the MPAA letter?
This
is the best. Okay. So this kind of goes in with the whole thing of horrific, deplorable violence is okay as long as no one uses any naughty words. So its first cut got an NC-17 rating.
Oh, wow.
So they address some notes. This is the letter Matt Stone wrote back to Jack, whatever his name was, who was head of MPAA. Here's our new cut of the South Park movie to submit to the MPAA. I wanted to tell you exactly what notes we did and did not address. One. We left in both the fisting and rim job references in the counselor's office scene. We did cut the word hole from asshole as per our conversation. Two, we took out the entire God has fucked me in the ass so many times. It is gone. Three, although it is not animated yet, we put a new storyboard in for clarification in the scene with Saddam Hussein's penis. The intent now is that you never see Saddam's real penis. He is, in fact, using dildos both times. So initially, it was a cartoon dick.
Oh, wow.
And they put a fucking dick in there.
They put a real dick
in. Yes. Two real dicks.
Yeah.
Throws away two real dicks. Oh, come on, buddy. I was just fucking around.
Oh, you know Saddam has a Canadian head, too?
Yeah, yeah.
It flaps
and he talks like them. It's very
amazing.
Weird little character thing that, like, are they saying he's Canadian?
Yeah, because the whole point of the Canadian, I think, is they're us. It's our lighter side, and we're at war with ourselves.
Yeah.
And then Saddam is like, I don't know.
Maybe he's funny that way.
I don't know. Four, we have the shot animated that reveals the fact that Winona is not shooting ping pong balls from her vagina. She is, in fact, hitting the balls with a ping pong paddle.
That was really funny, though. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How funny is that?
That's hilarious.
Five, we took out, and because there's the one guy who still cheers.
Yeah. Right.
Five, we took out the only reference to cum sucking ass in the film. It was in the counselor's office, and we took it out. Five, we left in the scenes with Cartman's mom and the horse, as per our conversation. This is one joke we really want to fight for.
Yeah.
Call with any questions, Matt. P.S. This is my favorite memo ever.
I did hear about the horse, that the German Scheisser video was originally supposed to be her with a horse, but they freaked out about the bestiality in a cartoon.
That's another one of my favorite lines, though.
But
Mom, you tell me if you were in the German Scheisser videos, wouldn't you?
Hysterical.
But they ended up sneaking in another horse fucker reference when they're testing out the shock thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like they just traded it out and made it a man shitting on her chest, which is apparently fine. I love this type of thing that shines a light on how insane the rules are at an organization like the MPAA or the FCC or whatever it might be, where it's just like, well, you can't do that. You can do this. Why? It's because.
We said it. Because that's what a room of 15 people from Nebraska cringed at. Because
a cartoon horse having sex with a woman is deplorable, but a cartoon man shitting on that woman, that's fine.
Yeah, and the violence thing, too, is it's...
Yeah.
Video games, other movies, guts being spilled out.
I mean, this shines such a light on like, especially, I think it's evened out more now. Now you can get away. I think this movie gave everyone way more artistic license because it's shown a light on how dumb these rules are. The 80s and 90s movies, the violence is so horrific in so many of them.
Yeah.
And as long as you didn't say fuck more than once, it was PG-13.
Yeah. Well, they added more blood and violence in this movie as a result of them cutting down on language.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And yeah, that which is another one of my favorite parts when Sheila, you know, let's see. Yeah, she's in like a pool of fire and blood. And she says, this is what we wanted. We wanted to bring our kids up in a smut-free environment.
Right. Yeah.
Just surrounded by fire and blood.
Everything is coming apart around her.
Oh, my God.
And it's such like a... I mean, I was lucky enough at the time that like when South Park came out, my parents weren't super aware of what it was and didn't like... They weren't the types to be like, you can't watch that. But... There was a lot of that, a lot of parents who right out the gate were like, you cannot watch this show.
Which is like looking right away. Like the movie's actually about that and you're falling for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's more morality in that show than, you know, the other shows that, that you'd be watching, you know?
No question. And more like legitimate, like social commentary and things that are like...
And intelligently.
Good for your children to get exposed to.
Operation Human Shield.
Oh my God.
I don't listen to hip hop. That is one of my favorite lines.
Are you familiar with
ever.
The Emancipation Proclamation?
I don't listen to hip hop.
Flapping in his mouth. Oh my God. Another one of my favorite lines from that scene is when Mr. Garrison goes, I can't wait for our first shore leave so I can get some fucking poontang.
some
fucking poontang.
The amount of lines in this movie that come up that I don't remember at all, and they still just hit so fucking hard because, like,
dude,
everything that's said after a quarter of the way into the movie, it becomes... Everything is a joke on a joke on a joke, and it's the craziest shit. When the mole starts yelling about, like, what the fuck do you want to do? Stay home and lick Barney the dinosaur's fucking pussy?
I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, Kristoff.
And it's like, and I know I'm watching it while he says that, and I'm like, I'm going to call this movie brilliant tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Yeah. Dude. I wrote down in a couple of my other lines that I fucking love. One, this is at the end. When it looks like everyone's going to die, and Cartman says to Kyle, all those times I said you were a dumb Jew, I didn't mean it. You're not a Jew. Cartman, I am a Jew. No, Kyle, don't be so hard on yourself. And then during the medley, Gregory, the guy who went to Yardsdale.
Yeah.
You know,
right. 4.0 at Yardsdale.
Funniest fucking verse. And do you remember, all right. You may get stabbed in the head with a dagger or a sword. You may be burned to death or skinned alive or worse.
Yeah.
What's worse than skinned alive? And they may cut your dick in half and serve it to a pig. Though it hurts, you'll laugh and dance a dickless jig. That's the way it goes. And though we're shit upon, La Resistance lives on.
Yeah. And that is a fucking... direct parody of a song from Les Miserables, which is like to equate those two things.
It's amazing.
This movie just, I mean, to me, it's like this, without this movie, South Park isn't still on. This movie kind of showed like, this is what we can be. This is what we're going to become.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, the go-to source for like social satire.
Did you watch the Soto Sopa season two or three seasons ago? It's about gentrification.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't. I'm going to go back and watch it.
It's
That's
the
great.
First season they did where there was a full arc for the whole season. And like this, you know, just like one of those strip malls. It's like Whole Foods and fucking all those weird things. And
right.
They call the neighborhood Soto Sopa, which means South something South Park. So yeah, I don't know.
It's like South
of downtown South Park.
Every New York neighborhood now has that.
Dumbo. Like, yeah.
Soda Sopa.
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think, the greatest thing about the show now is that they just kind of let it be what they want it to be season to season. Like sometimes it's got a through line. Sometimes it's like they did the weird like Tegrity Farm storyline, which is so fucking funny.
Tegrity.
They didn't insist on like, well, this formula works, let's keep doing that. Right. It was like, well, let's do whatever the hell we want.
They've had like Game of Thrones stuff was great.
Yeah,
fun of George Martin. But it's like if this show came out today, again, shout out to Comedy Central, but if it came out today, would it even be on Comedy Central?
I feel like they'd be afraid.
It'd be on another network, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Everything that's not premium would be afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this thing was such a flyer in the first place where it was like, it was this brilliant internet video almost before internet videos were a thing.
Right.
And it was getting passed around. And like, nobody, I don't think they didn't exactly have their pick of networks, you know? Like, Comedy Central took a flyer on this, and it was like, they even said they only made this movie. Or at least their mindset for the movie was like, well, we're going to get canceled soon, so this will be a great send-off. This will be a great capper. Yeah. So like they thought they were done, and that was 3 years into the show.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, God, it's so crazy. It was 3 years in.
I mean, it was just such a phenomenon. It was so big, and that's what's so great about the whole Terrence and Phillip comparison is like it's that same thing where it caught on so much with kids. Obviously, for you know, the first episode is a fucking satellite dish coming out of Cartman's ass. Like it was.
Yeah.
I think I was 12 when it came. Like it was this is in my wheelhouse.
It's so amazing.
But it just grew into this whole other thing.
Do you remember it was like the second or third episode? I think it was the first time they did Jesus and Friends, his talk show.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that that was in that early that Jesus had daytime talk show.
Yeah.
And a guy in the crowd is calling him Montel the whole time.
Yeah.
So what? Michael Jackson touched some kids. He's Michael Jackson. He's Michael Jackson.
And I feel like Comedy Central at the time was just like, I don't know, do whatever. Like we're not paying you much. Oh, this is God. Doesn't cost anything to make. Like it was like that perfect storm. Yeah. I mean,
and the animation thing was funny. Them calling themselves out said it does cost anything to make.
In the movie?
Animation sucks, and the next scene is just them.
So I mean, that's funny. The other thing that kind of gets completely forgotten about South Park is like the look of it. At the time, this was not an acceptable looking show.
No.
Right.
Like, compare this to The Simpsons, which was this juggernaut in its prime, and it was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what are they literally making it with paper cutouts? Yeah. And it's just such a brilliant show that's, like, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's so impressive. We could gush about this movie all night, but let's get into these games while we have a little bit of time. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. I'll start this one off with every time Cartman gets zapped.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Somehow a gag that doesn't get old to me either. Of just him, he just can't resist cursing fucking scene.
Because you would curse. That's what you would do. Right?
As it's shocking him, he's cursing more and more. Oh, I love it. Dwayne, what do you think?
I think every time Cartman's mom says something sexual or is portrayed sexually, I don't think you'd get you won't get drunk per se, but there's a nice. So it's like about halfway in, you get four or five of those.
You should have to take a shot when she casually explains what a rim job is.
Oh my God.
And apropos of nothing, she doesn't say like, I mean, that's what I've heard. I love that they don't add that tag. Like, it's just like, that's what it is.
<That's> so funny.
Ryan, what do you think, man?
I got three options here. We got anytime someone says buddy or a boot.
Come on, guy.
That's option one. Option two, anytime there's a joke that would cause a Twitter backlash.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And then the third one is anytime people just ignore violence.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is when they're on Conan.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke Shields just goes, I once farted on the set of Blue Lagoon. And Phillips blinks at her and then slaps her.
But
But like,
and that's
like,
not an issue.
But like, slaps her
lightly enough.
Yeah, that it's just like this funny little sound. It's,
oh my god,
it's hilarious. And then he hits the woman. Then he's arrested for farting or for saying fuck or whatever. Yeah,
right, you know right.
I mean? And then right a second after that, Conan kills himself. Yes. And like the boys at home are like, oh my god, they arrested Terrence and fell out. Right. It's so great.
And a guy comes out and stops his alarm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It doesn't call 911. Just
by the way, speaking of Twitter backlash, midget in a bikini,
the reporter in the field,
like the amount of absurdist humor in this too, where it's just like, no, you're given no explanation. It's just like, well, we go live in the field to midget in a bikini. Right, right. It's like, well, Tom, this is like.
Thank you, midget in a bikini.
Oh my god, fucking great. Let's come up with a new Oscars category this movie should have been nominated for. So it was nominated for Best Song, didn't win, lost to a Phil Collins song from the animated Tarzan, and supposedly that's why they skewered Phil Collins in the next season of
South
Park.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember any Phil Collins heat.
Oh,
in
they
the
went,
90s.
They not went, the late 90s, yeah, especially. Yeah, right. Early 90s, maybe he was still 90s, bringing yeah, it.
Yeah. It was the Wednesday after the Oscars.
Yeah.
It was 3 days later.
That's the other.
Oh, wow.
That was the other. The brilliance of South Park is that they can get on anything immediately.
They're just making fun of that song that he won with the whole time. It's like a sound-alike. The whole, it just keeps having him doing this.
So petty. I fucking love it.
Unintelligible lyrics.
That's great.
All right, Dwayne, so what's your new Oscars category, man?
I think I spoke about it. I'll say most watchable musical.
Yes.
Because, if you don't think of it, you don't even know you're watching a musical.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And if you're like really into musicals, this will scratch your itch.
But right, right.
If you're not, still just an enjoyable watch.
Exactly.
I like it. For me, it's a performance by like five people. This
amazing.
Best
movie,
performance by five people.
There's nobody in it. It's a handful of people doing all of the voices, and then George Clooney.
Right.
And Minnie Driver was...
Was Winona Ryder?
No, she was Brooke Shields.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, but she was Brooke
hilarious.
Shields. Yeah, but this, I mean, it's amazing to me how many different voices just a handful of people have done throughout the history of South Park.
It's amazing.
I would do a least Oscar Beatty movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, has there ever been a more begrudging nomination in the history of the Oscars than when they were like, we gotta nominate this goddamn Canada song?
Do you remember they wouldn't cut to them? They showed up at the Oscars dressed as Jennifer Lopez and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
They showed them, and they were on acid, too. So I forgot what their orchestrator's name was, but he was
dressed like a pimp.
Yeah, he was their pimp. And on the red carpet, they got interviewed, and there's like one wide shot, and then they cut to close-ups. And then during the broadcast, I think they didn't even cut to them.
Yeah.
And, which is crazy, because now you would have to cut to them.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For every reaction.
That's true.
Right.
Robin Williams sang this too live at the Oscars, which is if you're listening and you haven't seen it, give that a watch. It's very fun.
Oh yeah.
Let's give this movie a new tagline. So the tagline is, warning, this movie will warp your fragile little minds. Come up with a better one. For me, I stayed right on track with it. Mine is, warning, this movie may cause your child to pursue a career in comedy. Because this was definitely one of those where I was like, someone is making this for money?
Hey, right.
Yeah. That's an option? Like, yes, I'm on board
absolutely,
with that.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Dwayne?
Mine is, raise your kids or we will. Because that's a theme, too. It's sort of like, you know, Terrence and, what's the Terrence and
Philip.
And Philip. They only have as much power as you parents give them if you parents are doing your job. But that's
exactly
that's been true for a while now. Like just put the
just
put the kids in front of the TV.
Absolutely.
Then,
I mean,
and
even
then blame
like,
the TV.
Even like early Simpsons would make very meta jokes about that for the Halloween specials.
Yeah.
Be like, well, if you you know, you probably shouldn't be letting your kids watch this.
Right,
but okay, send me letters.
this is such a, you
get the parents literally leaving them at home alone when they're all grounded. So they can go pursue this insanity, and they immediately turn
Terrence and Phillip on. It's like,
right.
Yeah, I would say Charles Barkley still getting shit 30 years later for saying parents should be role models.
Right, yeah, I'm not a role model.
Yeah, I'm not a role model. Parents are role models. And people are like, fuck you! I don't want to raise my kid!
Put the ball in the hoop and be a perfect person.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it goes. What do you think, Ryan? What's your
I would go, warning, you fucked your uncle yesterday.
I really wish, speaking of being like a fly on the wall for something, to be there when they came up with, when they landed on Uncle Fucker and then extrapolated it out into a full song, a full Dude, brilliant song great. That then jumped again to like, they did a fucking Puff Daddy version
of
that
it. That was so great.
Oh,
I thought I
yeah.
told you that we won't stop.
Oh my God. We didn't even talk about Mr. Garrison's song. Jesus.
What's that?
I said, we didn't even talk about Mr. Garrison's song. There's so many good songs. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're, wait, Mr. Mackey's song.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Mackey's song. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, that whole, what's it? Replacing ass with buns.
Like, right, right. Kiss my buns kiss, or your buns,
buns
hole.
Then, buns hole always makes me laugh. Yeah,
but then it's like almost a weird flex when they say, for bitch, take out the T, because in Latin,
Because Bic is Latin for generosity.
Right. Like, what?
Yeah. So should say poo as in bull poo poo head, and this poo is cold.
This poo is cold.
Oh, yeah.
The kid holds up a shit. I mean, I just, I'm going to go rewatch this right now. Which character do you guys most identify with and why? This is a tough one. Start us off, Ryan.
I would say with Stan.
Okay.
Just because he wants to do the right thing. He wants people to stop yelling at each other. Also, when I was a kid, I would have thrown up if a girl I liked talked to me.
Yes, yes.
That's, so there's the, right, all yes, three of those.
That
there
is very yeah. identifiable. That yeah. And also, and still funny every time.
And he throws
Hi,
up.
Stan. Blah!
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop. You think at the end he's going to get his shit back together.
No, it's more every time. That's a great one. That's like the exact reason I would have gone with Stan. I ended up going with the mole.
Nice.
Because I think at my core as a kid, the thing I cared about most was not getting grounded. Was yeah. like, I was down to do whatever, but we were going to do it right. I'm not getting caught.
Right.
I'm
That's
not getting hilarious. Fucked by the one idiot on the crew. It's not happening. Right. Dwayne, what do you think, man?
I have two. I mean, Chef, for obvious reasons, but...
Why?
Scientology.
Right. Well, not only the black thing, but just some power in explaining to a young kid what the clitoris is and just getting them, just setting them out on that journey.
Yeah. Yes. Chef, it was such a harsh loss to the South Park universe when they had their split because of Scientology.
Absolutely.
Because like, that like sage character was so fun.
He was great.
And also, all the music was always so funny.
Also super self-aware.
Yes.
You know, like even after he told them, he was like, oops, maybe I should have told you this.
Yeah.
But also I like the movie ticket guy. Only because, like,
God damn it.
It's like, I'm going to do my job, but I'm not going to, like, overly do it. I think that's a good space to be in. Like, do your job.
Right.
But don't be a hero. You don't have to jump out and catch them. Like, just all that's expected of you is just to do your job. Hey, I'm not supposed to sell you these tickets. Yeah. Oh, there's a homeless guy here. Okay, great. Here's the tickets.
Okay. I'm glad you figured out a loophole.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, and that was also how this movie flourished at the time was like,
right.
I couldn't buy a ticket to this movie. I bought a ticket to some other movie.
It's almost like
you could
they
still
were,
do that, and you walked into the other theater.
And they were telling kids how to see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just the formula of like, and this is what your parents are going to be mad about,
is that
you went and did what's in this movie. It's crazy.
Chef might have had the biggest power move in the movie, too. When he blows up Operation Human Shield.
Oh, they all dropped down.
That's so funny.
Oh, man. All right. This, I mean, we've talked about a lot of our favorite moments, but there's so many. So let's pick one maybe we haven't touched on yet. Dwayne, why don't you start us off, man?
Again, I got to give you two. We just talked about one. I really like the We Won't Stop thing only because
oh my God.
It came out of nowhere.
Jumpsuits.
It came out of nowhere. It's super identifiable. And the fact that it was like, I just love when you hit that sweet spot, like you were saying, how they made fun of the Phil Collins song, where everyone's going to know it's your song that we're doing, but we don't have to pay you anything because it sounds different enough. I just love that they hit that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And the laughing about a boat, I think that's just a nice moment of like, we're going to go to war with you. But we and that's a thing really Americans really do find funny about Canadians.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. They really
we just can't be adults about it.
No, you know? No, it's no. So hey, right after he realizes he's making him say it, he's like, right. "Stop being a dick." Like,
right, right.
Yeah. I mean, also the that newscast, like that part about the Canadian government has apologized for Bryan Adams on several occasions.
Yeah, one of my
how dare you? That is one of my favorite lines ever. Let's see. I have a lot that we already talked about. But let's go with, all right. So I guess I mentioned Cartman says he tells his teacher, Mr. Garrison, to suck his balls.
Oh,
and Mr. Garrison is so taken aback, and everyone, like everyone in the class clams up, and you remember those moments when you were like a kid and he's like, "What did you just say?" And you're like, "Oh, it's fucking on." And he grabs the little megaphone and just reiterates, "I said, suck my balls, Mr. Garrison."
Mr. Garrison.
Oh, my God. It's the best. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Ryan?
I like all the Sheila stuff we talked about before, like, we must start a war to save our kids, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. But if we're talking about pure, like, then there's Uncle Fucker. The Uncle Fucker stuff just like...
That's just amazing.
But then I, you know, as a combination of comedy and thought-provoking, I gotta go with Big A Al's, the beginning of that song, when he mm-hmm. lists all the horrible things that are happening.
Yeah.
And when he says, "The whole world's gone to hell, but how are you?"
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I mean, it's hilarious. There's a self-centered part of it, but it's also like... Yeah, you also have to be level yourself. Just because the world's on fire,
right? Right.
You still need inner peace,
mm-hmm. to, exactly.
Or else you're on fire too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, without vital people, the world will have no vitality.
Absolutely.
So you have to keep yourself level and center.
And no matter what's going on, the people close to you, you guys have to talk about other things. You can't just talk about this macro issue,
right?
That's happening all the time. You gotta, you know.
Yeah,
check in with each other.
That's such a relevant thing right now. I mean, probably maybe even more so than when this came out.
Absolutely.
Because this, like, the mob mentality of politics has, like, taken hold in a way that it wasn't quite there yet in 99.
Right. And also, this movie's so prophetic because the "how are you" thing, he means it in a good way, just checking in. But also, it's very, it almost predicted the whole social media thing. Like, everything's
right.
The world is going to hell, mm-hmm. but I'm taking a selfie twerking.
Yeah.
And or I'll take a selfie and put at the bottom, "I'm sorry to come at you girls, but I'm twerking in a selfie," and I put at the bottom like, "recycle." It's like, what?
Right.
What the fuck is happening? What?
Right.
I love by the way that we're getting like in depth on like how brilliant this song is by Big Gay Al, and his dick is out at the end of the song.
I forgot. Yeah, his dick is definitely out.
His dick is just out.
And his dick's allowed, but Saddam's isn't.
And
they had to do a real dick for Saddam.
Two real dicks.
Fucking weird.
It's not mine. I mean, this is it's just the perfect that sums up this movie's amazing ability to go from like highbrow to lowbrow in an instant and back up and back down. It's just constant. Oh, it keeps you like just never knowing what's happening next.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I forgot to mention, we have not mentioned the dying giraffe, which I thought like as a 12-year-old, me and my friends would like that was it. Like,
I was
across
dying.
The classroom. Mwah! Mwah. Oh, it sounds like a giraffe dying over there.
Oh my God.
That still appeals to the 12-year-old.
I was dying watching that today, man. The sound of a dying giraffe.
Oh man.
Yeah, I like when he said what did he say? He called them British or something. Like, he's clearly French.
Yeah, yeah. That was a nice little nod to Cartman used to call the English character on South Park French.
Right.
And he yells at him about being British. It's little shit like that that I don't think I picked up on that until maybe the last time I watched it.
Right.
So
it's
good.
It's great. Thank you for picking this, man. This is one of my favorite movies.
Hey, anytime
ever.
You do Team America, let me know.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Team next week. I love Team America. We haven't done that either, have we, Dwayne?
No, I don't think so.
I feel I like that I, movie, I feel like we tend not to pick movies that we've seen over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But in the last few, like maybe last 50 episodes or so, we started doing more of that, and it was like, oh yeah, they're
super
fun to talk about. Yeah. Dude, thank you again for being here. Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Ryan Connor Comedy. Connor is with an ER, and you'll see links to Instagram and Twitter from there if you want to do that. And a lot of videos and shit on there on my website, and like you know, my schedule. I'm usually on the road like once a month. 1 weekend a month, sometimes two. And what else? Oh yeah, and then I have an album on iTunes and Spotify called Live From an Old Prison.
Check it out, guys.
Nice. Live From an Old Prison?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. DwaynePerkins.com is the website. Dwayne Perkins on the gram. Yeah, check that for my dates, mainly in and around Los Angeles.
Check them out, guys. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on all social media. I'll be mostly in LA for the next few months. A new season of Tosh is starting up. And then in May, I'll be on the road a bit. San Diego, Detroit. Come check me out if you're in either of those cities. Also, follow us at Movie Nightcast on all social media. Keep giving us your love and your feedback. We love hearing from you guys. Ryan, thanks again for doing it, man.
Hey, my pleasure, man.
Tune in next week,
thank
guys.
You, thank you.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.